Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we want to read verses 20 through 24. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, now they refers to Jesus and his disciples, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall no doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. We need to keep in mind that earlier, according to verses 12 through 14 of this same chapter, Jesus cursed this fig tree because it did not bear any figs. Verse 12 says, And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find it, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. The next day, when Jesus and his disciples walked by this same fig tree, they saw that it was dried up from the roots. That apparently got Peter's attention, and he mentioned what had taken place. Then Jesus responded to what Peter had to say. Now today, we want to base our lesson on the statement that Jesus made to his disciples in verse 22. Jesus said, Have faith in God. I never cease to be amazed how Jesus could say so much in just a few words. But he responded to this situation by telling his disciples to have faith in God. Now in our lesson today, we want to emphasize the fact that we're to have faith in the one God. So the title of our lesson is actually, Let Us Have Faith in the One God. In my judgment, there's a great need for faith in God today because there's such a lack of it. When the faith in God diminishes, society goes down. Now, when faith in God increases and flourishes, people also are blessed. That's the way it works. Over and over again in the Bible, we read about people who lost their faith in God and they paid a high price for it. I think we're seeing the fruits today in our society of a lack of faith in God. Well, one thing I learned a long time ago is that when some condition exists in society, we have to exercise caution lest we be influenced by that very same thing. So while much of the world has lost faith in God, we need to be sure that we avoid that mistake. So we need to listen carefully to what Jesus said, have faith in God. We were just singing about faith. And our Lord had much to say about faith. The Bible has much to teach, or teaches very much concerning faith. So we would do well to study this subject on a regular basis and be sure that we follow the Master's advice. Have faith in God. The first point we want to make is there's one God. Now, at one time, I don't think it would have been necessary to emphasize this, but today, there is a need to emphasize this. The Bible says that there is one God. We read about his activities in the opening verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 6. Ephesians 4, we want to read verse 6. Now, beginning at verse 4 and going through verse 6, Paul mentions seven subjects that are unique. They are unique in the sense that there's only one of each. He begins by talking about one body. There's one spirit. There's one hope. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now verse 6 says, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I can't help it, but whenever I read these verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians 4, I can't help but think about some little children I've seen over the years. Whenever a little child, I mean an infant, whenever an infant has a birthday, it's always a challenge for him to go from one finger to two fingers. He has to work on that for a while. Then the next year, he has to work on it again. But I've always found it interesting. Every little child I've ever seen can say one. They don't have any problem with it. Now, you know, if a little baby can count to one and know what one is, it just seems that adults ought to be able to understand this passage. There's one God and Father of all. Well, notice that he's the Father of all. That includes Jews and Gentiles. There's not one God for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. There is one God and Father of all. That includes Jews as well as Gentiles. The one God is above all. Remember what Jesus taught his followers to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I understand that that passage was on a game show just recently, and the contestants couldn't give the word hallowed. I think that illustrates the point that we were making just a little bit earlier about how there's such a lack of faith in God. Well, how do we develop faith? My Bible still says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. If we don't know what the scriptures teach, then how can we possibly believe in the one true God? Well, the one God is above all. Just the other day in my Bible reading, I was finishing the book of Job. And Job made a statement to his friends. They were having some discussions. His friends were trying to condemn Job and trying to get him to repent. And he answered back saying that he had not done anything wrong. And he wanted to know why he was being treated the way that he was. But in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 2, Isaiah wrote a statement that I believe is very familiar to something that Job said. God sits on the circuit of the earth. Now, isn't that interesting that about 700 B.C., Isaiah knew that the earth is round? What was the common belief back in 1492? The common belief was that the world was flat, and if someone sailed across the sea, he'd fall off the edge of it. Well, isn't it interesting that the prophet knew all those years ago that there's one God above all? He sits on the circuit of the earth. Furthermore, the same verse, Ephesians 4 and verse 6, says that the one God is through all and in you all. He created everything according to Genesis chapter 1. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not ashamed to believe that, because my faith is based on Scripture. And the scripture shows that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I saw something interesting just a day or two ago. I didn't read the whole article. But some group of scientists have reached a conclusion that there has to be life somewhere else in the universe. You know, there's a big discussion about that. It seems that it gains popularity every few years. We go through cycles on things like that. But as I understand it, the reason that conclusion was reached is because the earth was formed in such a short time. I thought, isn't that interesting? In the beginning, God created the heaven, and there's the answer right there. Now, I don't believe we need to spend any time looking for life in any other places. God blessed this earth in such a way that man could live here. That's why God created it. Well, God created everything. So there is one God. He's the Father of all. He's above all. And he's through all and in you all. Now let's talk about having faith in God. We have to have faith in God to please him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and read verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, isn't it interesting that the positive point to learn from this is that through faith we can please God. Now, we know in a negative sense that without faith we cannot please him. The positive lesson to learn from that is through faith we can please God. But does having faith in God simply consist of believing that there is a God? No. Well, we must believe that he is, in other words, that he exists, but then we must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. God blesses those who obey him. And in the remainder of this chapter, the great faith chapter of the Bible, we read about a number of men and women from the Old Testament who pleased God as they demonstrated their faith in various ways. I love to go through the Old Testament and study the detailed accounts of what's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is showing how people were blessed through their faith in God. But we can go through the Old Testament scriptures and read the detailed accounts of what took place so long ago. And of course, that's very encouraging to us. So we must have faith in the one God to please him. We know that there's one God. As Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, we must have that faith in order to please the one God. But that brings us to our next point. The scriptures teach us that we demonstrate our faith in God by our actions. The opposite is also true. We demonstrate a lack of faith in God by our actions. Let's look at James chapter 2 for just a moment and read a few verses. In this particular portion of his letter, James, and this is the Lord's brother, wrote about the relationship that exists between faith and works. The works under consideration are acts of obedience. And James makes the statement no less than four times that faith without works is dead. James 2, let's start at verse 18. "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Well, yes, we must believe that God exists. But just believing that God exists alone is not sufficient. James illustrates that point by referring to the demons. They believe that God exists. Well, how many demons are going to be saved at the judgment? Well, James says that devils even go so far as to tremble. And his point is that faith without works of obedience is dead. Now let's look at an illustration of how faith is demonstrated by our actions. Let's turn back to the Gospel of Mark, this time chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we want to read about an occasion when Jesus performed one of his great miracles. But we want to make an observation concerning faith and how faith can be seen. Mark chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now Jesus was in a house that was packed. There were so many people in there that no one else could come in. Can you imagine that? Our Lord was teaching the people who were present. Well, there were some men who had a friend who was afflicted with palsy. He couldn't walk. They had to carry him from place to place. They brought him to the master to be healed, but they could not go into the house. You know, it would have been easy just to say, well, we tried. We can't get in there. We've done all we can. Those men were not going to take no for an answer. They were very industrious, we might say. They went up on the roof, took back some of the roofing, and let the man down, apparently with ropes. He was on a bed. Now, we know that the man was healed, but Jesus first forgave his sins. That demonstrated to everyone there that Jesus is the Son of God. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. But he healed the man. But in connection with healing the man, Jesus saw their faith. Who's that referring to? It's referring to those four men who let their friend down into the Lord's presence. You see, they were active. They were doing something to bring the man into the Lord's presence. They knew that Jesus could heal him. Jesus saw their faith. Now, the point that I want to make from that is, faith is demonstrated by our actions. It can be seen. Can you take a handful of faith and put it into a container and look at it that way? No, you can't do that. But you can observe someone's actions and tell whether or not he has faith in God. Now, during his ministry, Jesus commended those who demonstrated their faith. Let's look at a few examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 and read about a man who's identified as a centurion. He was an army officer. Jesus said that he had great faith. Matthew chapter 8, Let's start at verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now this man is identified as a centurion. That is, he was an officer in the Roman army. More than likely, he would have been a Gentile. And Jesus commended his great faith. He knew that the Lord could just speak and his servant would be healed. He said, it's not necessary for you to come under my roof. He said, I know something about authority. As an officer, I speak to this soldier and he does what I tell him to do. To my servant, I speak to him and he does what I tell him to do. All you have to do is speak the word. Jesus commended that man's faith. Now I want you to notice, Jesus made that statement to those who followed. He said that for the benefit of others who were present. The Lord commended this man's great faith. But I believe he was teaching his followers a very important lesson. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15 and read about the woman of Canaan. Jesus also commended her faith. Matthew chapter 15, let's start at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And this woman was from Canaan. She was not Jewish. She had a problem. Her problem was that her daughter was possessed by a demon. She knew that Jesus could take care of that problem. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She had faith that the Lord could take care of the problem. And I believe that Jesus made these statements for the benefit of others who were there. I don't believe he was being rude to this woman in any way. Remember, there were others who were present. Jesus was teaching them that he came to provide salvation for everyone, not only the Jewish people, but for others as well. Our Lord commended this woman's faith. So these are two occasions when Jesus commended the faith of individuals during his ministry. And did you notice that neither one was Jewish? Well, let's look at some other occasions when some of the Lord's followers demonstrated their faith in various ways. Now, we're illustrating the fact that We demonstrate our faith in the one God by our actions. Let's read in the book of Acts about a few of the Lord's followers and the various ways in which they demonstrated their faith. Let's first turn to Acts chapter 4 and read about Peter and John. Earlier, these two apostles of the Lord had gone to the temple at the hour of prayer. They came in contact with a man who was born lame. That man was healed. There was a great crowd that gathered around, and Peter preached to them. But when the religious leaders heard that Peter was preaching the resurrection of Christ, they were upset. So they had Peter and John taken into custody. Later, they were given an opportunity to speak in their defense. Let's notice a few things that were said. Acts 4, starting at verse 18. And they called them, that is, the Jewish council called Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now that's a direct command coming from the religious leaders. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Peter and John had to make a decision. Will we do what Jesus told us to do? Or will we cave and give in to the wishes of these religious leaders? Peter said we can only do what we have seen and heard. In other words, we're going to do what the Lord told us to do. Now they were threatened, but they went on their way. They kept on preaching the gospel. Let's look at Acts 5. Acts 5 shows us that all of the apostles were taken into custody. Let's notice how they demonstrated their faith. Chapter 5, let's start at verse 40. And to him, that is a man named Gamaliel, they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now all the apostles were commanded not to preach in the name of the Lord anymore. They were beaten. How did they respond? They demonstrated their faith by continuing to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. A man named Stephen demonstrated his great faith. Let's start at verse 54. Now earlier, Stephen had preached a great sermon to those who were present. Basically, in his sermon, he gave a brief account of Jewish history. Now let's notice what's written at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Well, he brought the lesson to a conclusion, and he indicted those people who were before him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What a great demonstration of faith. Stephen lost his life. He had faith in God. You know, to us, it may not seem to be fair that people who have faith in God are sometimes called upon to suffer. Peter and John had faith in God. They were threatened. All of the apostles had faith in God. They were beaten. They were told not to preach in the name of the Lord. They just kept on doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And now Stephen has lost his life. To us, it may not seem fair that those who have faith in God may sometimes be called upon to pay the price. But you know, Jesus paid the price, didn't he? And he let his followers know that there is a price to pay to be a follower of his. Now let's look at Acts chapter 16. We want to read a few verses that show how Paul and Silas demonstrated their faith. Acts 16, we will start at verse 22. Now these two men had gone to Philippi and they enjoyed some good results. But there were some people who did not appreciate what they were doing. And let's read about it. Acts 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's a great demonstration of faith. These men had done a good work. Paul had cast a spirit out of a young woman, and she was being used by some men for financial gain. And when they saw that their hope of future gain was gone, they got the people stirred up. Consequently, Paul and Silas were cast into prison. You know the rest of the story. There was a great earthquake that occurred and their bands were loosed. And eventually, that led to the conversion of the jailer. So the story has a happy ending. Now all of these verses we just looked at that talk about various Bible characters illustrate the point that we demonstrate our faith in the one God by our actions. I said earlier, the opposite is also true. A person's actions can also demonstrate the fact that he has no faith in God. We're suffering from that even today. Why do you think there's such a problem today with moral perversion? It's because of a lack of faith in God. Well, let's turn our attention now to the fact that the one God will bless those who have faith in him. I think we've already seen this point made as we've looked at these various Bible characters who demonstrated their faith. But let's look at a few verses that directly tell us that God blesses those who have faith in him. We already looked at a verse in Hebrews 11, but let's look at another verse. Hebrews 11, We read verse 6, which shows that through faith we can please God. But let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "For by it," it's talking about faith, "the elders obtained a good report." This is referring to the ancestors of God's people, the elders, the ancient ones. They obtained a good report from God on what basis? It was by their faith. Well, we can read over and over again in this chapter how great Bible characters demonstrated their faith. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And read some words from the Apostle Paul. He expressed his assurance that he was going to receive a crown of righteousness. And he tells us why. 2 Timothy 4, let's start at verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto also all them that love his appearing." Now, the Apostle Paul was looking forward to receiving a crown of righteousness. Why did he have such confidence? Well, one thing that he had done was keep the faith. Jesus said during his ministry, "Have faith in God." For those who keep the faith, they have something great to look forward to. So God will bless those who have faith in him. He will bless us in this life, but the best is yet to come. So as we go about our daily activities, let us do what Jesus said and have faith in the one God. And let's demonstrate our faith in God by putting his will into practice. Now, the Bible teaches us how we become God's children. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 in closing and read just a few verses. We'll start at verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We become God's children when we have faith in the Lord and comply with his instructions to be baptized into him. When we comply with the Lord's will, his precious blood cleanses us of all sin. We become members of the Lord's body, which is his church. We become God's children, and we become Abraham's descendants. Well, the Bible is very clear in teaching us what we need to do to illustrate or demonstrate the faith that we have in God. We mentioned earlier that today is Father's Day. I thought it'd be a good time to use a little Bible that's very special to me. This is a little Bible that Teresa and I gave to my dad many years ago. I'm a little bit emotional today because of that. But I tell you one thing, he'd be proud to know that I used his little Bible to preach today. Now, what's inside of this is what's important. God, help us to study it, to learn God's will, and then put it into practice every single day. If we will do that, we'll have a good influence upon others who are observing our behavior, and we can look forward to receiving a great blessing from God.